If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, and I'm Dr. Mike Roizen. You're listening to a passionate show about how you get to take control of your genes to have a better life. You get a do-over if you want it. And we talk about everything in health. Today is an unusual subject, which is talking to your kids, which we don't often talk about on this program. But Al Vernacchio, and if you want to follow him on tweet, it's Alv Sex Ed, at Alv Sex Ed. But the book is For Goodness Sex, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health. Al, if I can call you that, is that okay?
Absolutely, yes, please.
How did you get into the field of sexuality education?
Well, I've been a sexuality educator in high schools for over 20 years, and I actually got my master's degree in human sexuality education. So I am somebody who's actually trained to do this and have been doing it at the high school level for quite a while now.
How did you decide you wanted to do it in the first place? This is actually a question from a teenager here who said, teaching about sex seems like so much fun. How did your guest, she doesn't put your name down, how did your guest decide he wanted to do this?
Well, it certainly is a lot of fun. The reason why I got into it is from when I was a little kid, I've always had a lot of ease in talking about human sexuality. It was never something that was embarrassing for me or never something that felt guilty. And so with a natural ability to talk about it and seeing that there were just so many, in so many ways, there was silence around this, I felt like I had the ability and the skills to do it. I always wanted to be a teacher. I also teach English in my high school as well as human sexuality. But I've always wanted to be able to help people talk about sexuality in ways that can make them healthier. And so it was easy for me to do, and I found a program to train me in it, and I love what I do.
So you teach now, just to set the stage, as I understand it, you teach 12th grade. It's a course that lasts the whole year. It's a mandatory course in the high school that you're at, and it goes from the full year. Is it an hour every week, or is it 3 hours every week?
It's well, the course that I teach, two courses at my high school. One is a 12th grade course, and that's actually not mandatory. That's an elective, although it meets every day for a full 40-minute class block. So it's basically 5 40-minute class blocks a week for the entire school year. I also teach a 9th grade human sexuality class. That is a mandatory class, and I see every 9th grader once a week for between 40 and 60 minutes. So two classes.
And when you say
between,
once a week, is that the whole year as well?
That's the whole year as well, yes.
Now, you start out in a very interesting way, and you pose that in the book. But one of the interesting comments you wrote in the book is parents often come up to you and say, I'm glad you're teaching this so that I don't have to talk about the subject to the children. And
right.
You come up and say, guess what? You have to talk to them anyway about it.
Absolutely. Parents need to be the primary sexuality educators of their children. I can supplement what they do, but I can't do it for them.
We have a question from Jane in Chicago who asks, why do you call it sexuality education rather than sex ed?
It's such a great question, Jane. Thank you for asking it. I call it sexuality education because, for me, sexuality is much bigger than just sex. When we hear the word sex, we often think about either body parts or what we do with those body parts. And for me, sexuality is much more than just the parts we have and what we do with them. It encompasses all of our lives. We're sexual beings from from the minute we're born until the minute we die. And every interaction we have in life is influenced by our gender, our sexual orientation, the way we fit into the world. And that's all part of our sexuality for me. So I want to have a much more expansive view of this and talk about it in many more ways than just the mechanics of what we do with our bodies when we get together with someone else.
Now, in kids in high school, and I don't know if they're, I'm trying to remember back whether the hormones were raging by ninth grade or not, but certainly by 12th grade, all hormones are raging. Mm-hmm. All kids have raging hormones. Does the course cause the kids to more vocally talk about their sexual thoughts, their desires? What's a typical class day like?
Yeah, great question. And the hormones are definitely raging not only from ninth grade, but before ninth grade, and certainly up through 12th grade. The courses that I teach are not designed, I always say to the kids, this is an academic class and not a reality show. So I'm not asking kids to share their personal experiences or desires or thoughts or fantasies. That's not part of our class. But what we do in class is talk about how do you talk about sexuality with a sweetheart? How do you identify what you want? How do you identify what you believe when it comes to sexuality? So our course could be anything from doing an activity that helps us get a better insight into gender, for example, or sexual orientation or body image. Or we might have some mock discussions in class the other day. We actually had some discussions where we created some scenarios of parents talking to their kids about sex and sort of acted them out and talked about them and thought about ways we could improve those interactions. So the kids do certainly ask lots of questions, but there's never any pressure to share personal information because that's not what an academic class is for.
Now, in the book, you go through the process, and I think you go from talking about it as if I'm getting this right from reading from essentially talking about it as a baseball game to a pizza to sharing a pizza.
That's right.
Tell the audience what you mean by that.
Sure. Sure. The dominant cultural metaphor that Americans use to talk about sex is baseball. There's all this baseball language that has double meaning around sex. So we talk about, rounding the bases and scoring a run and striking out. And the problem with the baseball model is that it sets up really unhealthy expectations about sexuality and sexual activity. Baseball is, by definition, a competitive game. There's a winner and a loser. Baseball has very strict rules and a very strict order in which the game has to be played. And when you start applying that stuff to sex and sexuality, you wind up with something that is so external. It's about winning and losing, and the goals are external, and it's just a bad model. So I created a model where we could look at sex more like it was like pizza. Because unlike baseball, pizza starts from our own internal desire, our own hungers. And unlike baseball that's competitive, pizza is cooperative. You want to share it with somebody. And one of the first things you do when you want to have pizza with somebody is you talk about it. You talk about what you want.
Before we get to that pizza analogy any further, and we'll come back and talk about that, I have to take a hard break because we're sponsored. And we're talking with Al V. Sex Ed, at Al V. Sex Ed for Goodness Sex, a wonderful book about how to talk to your teens about sexuality, values, and health. We'll be right back.
Itching, pain, and soreness during sex? General feelings of vaginal discomfort and dryness? You are not alone. Vaginal dryness is a very common condition that can profoundly affect your everyday life and your sex life. The dryness you are experiencing doesn't reflect your desire to have sex. There are tons of moisturizers and lubricants on the market today, but who wants to put harsh chemicals down there? Prevalif Oasis is an intimate moisturizer with natural ingredients. You don't need to fret over the hazardous chemicals in Prevalif Oasis Vagina Moisturizer. It's paraben-free, hormone-free, fragrance-free, and rapidly absorbing. It provides immediate comfort and relief. You can find out more information on the Prevalif Oasis product and all the great Prevalif products at Prevalif.com. PrevaLeaf.com. To stop your itching fast and find relief right now. Prevalif.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike Roizen. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, is what you're listening to. That's the passionate show that teaches you how to take control of your health, so you can live healthier, longer, and with less disability. Or looking at it another way, you get to live younger with the energy you had many years ago. The one of the questions that we had, or one of the set of questions that we had, was why the analogy of baseball was not correct and the analogy of pizza worked better. So we were talking to our guest, Al Vernacchio, V-E-R-N-A-C-C-H-I-O. The book is For, F-O-R, Goodness, Sex, S-E-X, Changing the Way We Talk to Teens About Sexuality, Values, and Health. Very well-written book, I must admit. So you can see that he's an English teacher, but he writes in a very fun, enjoyable style. So, Al, why is pizza a better analogy? And that's what you were talking to us when we went to break.
Sure. Pizza, the fundamental way that pizza is a better analogy is that, think about when a baseball game ends. It ends when somebody wins or loses. There's a definite end point. But think about when you're finished eating pizza. You're finished when you feel satisfied. So you actually get to control when that is. If you overindulge, you don't feel so great. But if you regulate yourself and say, okay, I've had enough, if that were our model for sexual interactions, and if we didn't feel so pressured to sort of complete a checklist of activities, but we sort of said, yeah, I'm satisfied, this has given me what I was hungry for, that would be a much healthier way to approach our sexual interactions. And certainly in talking with the kids, as I do over the past 20 years, they have found that a really eye-opening and useful way to think about their sexual interactions.
At the end of every chapter, I should say, there are a set of questions. How did you get the questions? I know the answer, but I want
sure.
you to explain it, because it's such a good part of the book, are these questions at the end of every chapter. And then I'm going to ask you a couple and then go to the one that Evelyn Q in Syracuse asked.
Okay. The questions at the end of each chapter come from something called the question box, which is an old shoebox that I have in my classroom. and it's got a hole cut in the top of it. And students can just slip pieces of paper into the question box with questions that they either don't want to ask aloud during class time, or that they might feel a little embarrassed about, or just questions that they're wondering about. And so all of the questions at the ends of the chapters in my book are directly from the question box in my classroom. And I answer them exactly the way I answer them in class, because I want to model for parents and other adults who work with kids ways to answer these questions and talk about them in a very relaxed and comfortable but also factual way.
And so one of them was a question from it's from a girl, but at the end of the first chapter it is it normal to just randomly get turned on throughout the day multiple times a day? P.S. I'm a girl, not a guy.
Yeah, that was such a great question. And, you know, of course the answer is absolutely it's natural to be turned on during the day. We're made to be turned on. It's one of the best things about being human. It's especially when you're an adolescent, there's lots and lots of hormones coursing through your body, and of course it's going to make you feel turned on and terrific. And the important thing to know is that that's really normal, and the other important thing to know is that you have some control over that. And just because we're turned on doesn't mean we have to do something about it. We get to make a choice about that. So it's about both normalizing, the answer is both about normalizing the feeling and also helping the young person think about the skill of making some choices around what they're feeling.
Now we get to the question from Evelyn Q. And Evelyn, I'm sorry that we had to wait this long, and there are a series of questions we won't get to. But Evelyn Q. wrote in advance when I tweeted that you were going to be on. This is really embarrassing, but I'm obsessed with hooking up. I'm out on the town night after night. I'm miserable if I have to go home alone and miserable when I don't. How do I stop?
Really great question. And one of the things that I want to say up front is I'm always clear with my students and with people that I speak to that I'm not a therapist and I'm not a medical doctor. So as an educator, my job is to give information and help people practice skills. So Evelyn, it sounds to me like you're definitely hungry for something and that hooking up is not satisfying that. So I think the real question is, what are you really hungry for? Is it intimacy? Is it communication? Is it connection? Is it romance? There are so many ways for us to get those needs met. Hooking up and sexual activity is one of them and may not be the best one for a given hunger that we're experiencing. So in terms of how do we stop, we first of all, realizing that it is something you want to stop doing is important. Second of all, believing that you have the power to stop it if you want to is important. And thirdly, it's really asking, what is it that I really want? What is it that I'm really hungry for? And then looking for other ways that that hunger might be satisfied, because clearly this one is not doing it and not doing it successfully for you. So I would really encourage you to explore other ways to connect with people beyond sexual that actually might be much more beneficial and actually might give you what you're looking for.
And I think that answer, if you're listening to the show, that the sense of that answer, the clearness of that answer, the importance in getting that answer to Evelyn is exactly how this book is written. It's written in a common, no-nonsense, beautiful way, phrased what I would call almost perfectly, but also with a sense of humor and a sense of fun and joy to life that sex really is. And I think that's, if I take, and Al, maybe this is wrong, but if I take one thing out of this book, it's that we as humans are sexual beings, and talking about it, interacting about it, thinking about it, are all a normal part of life.
That is exactly what I hope people will get when they read the book, and that they'll realize that being sexual is a really good thing and a really joyful thing. And it helps us be the best people we can be.
We've been talking to Al Vernacchio, V-E-R-N-A-C-C-H-I-O, who's written a book put out by Harper called For Goodness Sex. It's really a tale of what he's learned in the 20 years as a sex educator and both 9th and 12th grades. It's a beautifully written book, very sensible, and has a ton of really great information in it. If you've got a teenager or know someone who does, this is a great gift. Thanks very much, Al, for being on the show. For Goodness Sex is the book. Do get it. If there's anyone in your family who might benefit from it, or even someone you know, it's a great Christmas gift too, I would think. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Did you know the body's natural collagen production slows at a rate of 1.5% per year after age 25? Replenishing the body's collagen supply helps minimize fine lines and wrinkles and improves skin elasticity, builds and supports bone matrix, repairs connective tissues, improves circulation, and promotes wound healing. With the highest collagen dosage on the market, restore your youthful vitality. With NeoCell, the number one collagen brand in the world and the leader in nutracosmetics, NeoCell.com.
Ever notice when you have a baby, everyone seems to give you advice? From your mother-in-law,
don't you know you can't take that baby out in the rain today? And where is her hat?
To your own parents,
you should take the baby outside every day, even in the rain.
To your friends,
you have got to get this diaper cream. It is so much better than the one you've been using.
When it comes to the important stuff, like immunizations and protecting my baby's health, I trust my baby's doctor. She really listens to my questions about shots, she gives me great information, and she works with me to make sure my baby gets protected. And that's something even my mother-in-law can agree with.
Honey, I totally support you getting the baby vaccinated, but really, shouldn't you put the baby's hat back on?
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.